when it all went to custard. Written by Danielle Hawkins and read by Jessica Grace Smith. I wasn't enjoying the afternoon of the 23rd of February even before I learnt that my husband was having an affair. It was very hot, and I was on the phone with a deeply unpleasant woman who had just fenced off her neighbour's driveway. I had a lot of pressing work to do, and the knowledge that her complaints were nothing to do with building control, and I wasn't the person who should have spent the last 19 minutes listening to them, was not improving my outlook. Pushing a swag of hot hair from my forehead, I changed the phone from one ear to the other and said, "Yes, but I'm afraid he cut the wires. Willful destruction of my property. And he had the gall to tell me it was none of my business what he planted. I suppose it would be none of my business when his horrible flax bushes block off the creek and there's a foot of muddy water in my house either. Mrs. Cotter, I don't really see why your people seem to be very concerned about his rights, but what about my rights as a ratepayer? You don't have the right to cut off his access," I said. "That driveway is on my land." "Yes, but you signed a right-of-way agreement. We've got it here on file." At which point, she hung up. I put the phone down and returned to the plans on my desk. It rang again immediately. It was Lynn at the front counter. "Please, not Mrs. Cotter again," I said. "It's not," said Lynn. "Someone here to see you." I did a little cheer dance of annoyance, but venting frustration on Lynn had long-lasting and unpleasant repercussions, so I merely said, "Okay, coming." Having traversed the three corridors and two flights of steps between my office and reception, the Tipuwhi District Council building was designed in the 60s by an architect who, in his determination to create something truly unique, had overlooked such trifling concerns as lighting, ventilation, and internal flow. I found our next-door neighbour, Andrew Faulkner, at the front counter. He looked hot and dusty, and he smelt like wool grease, and I wondered what emergency had brought him straight into town out of the yards. "Hi, Andrew, how's it going?" I said. "Jenny, could I have a word in private?" "Yes, of course," I said, slightly unnerved. Outside?" I led the way out to the small paved area between the street and the police station fence, which contained two painted wooden bench seats and a raised garden bed filled with stunted orange marigolds. The sun beat down fiercely and rebounded off the concrete paving stones, and the air shimmered with heat. "Ugh, this is revolting," I said. "Come back in and we'll talk in the staff room." "No, it's okay. You'd better have a seat." Beginning to be nervous, I sat down on the edge of a bench and squinted up at him. He crossed his arms, uncrossed them again, and dug his hands into his shorts pocket. "Christ," he said. "Right, so, I just found your husband in bed with my wife." "Oh," I said inadequately. "Sorry," he added. You mean..." Which was stupid because there was only one thing he could have possibly meant. "Yes." "Did they see you?" "Yes," he said again. "What did you do?" I croaked. "Turned around and went away again. What was I supposed to do?" His thin brown face crumpled suddenly like a hurt child's. Andrew Faulkner had always seemed, from what little I knew of him, to be a grave, stoic sort of man, and it's extra horrible watching unemotional people suffer. "Andrew, I'm so sorry," I said softly. His head shot up. "You knew?" "No. I've got to go," he said. "I've got sheep in the yards." And, turning, he hurried across the street to where his ute was parked.